Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhtar.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Today we'll move on to the rest of our study in Genesis chapter 43 for the second trip of Joseph's brothers from the land of Canaan to Egypt. We know in verse 26 that Joseph came to the house where his brothers had prepared for him the gifts which they brought with them from the land of Canaan, and they bowed down to him to the earth. He asked them in verse 27 if their father, the old man, is well, and the answer, yes, he is alive. Your servant, our father, is well. And they bowed down once again to Joseph. Now, we asked the question in our last broadcast, what will happen next? Benjamin is already there with his brothers. According to the Quran, the ridiculous story, Joseph actually told him openly, I am your brother. And that is what we read in verse 69. And when they entered unto Joseph, he took his brother to him. He said, surely I am your brother, so do not grieve for what they were doing. What a ridiculous way and an amazing change to the true biblical account. And by the way, Muslim scholars will tell us that this did not happen while they are standing in front of the rest of the brothers, but that took place after they went to bed. Once again, let me remind you of what Ibn Kathir said. He stated that Joseph had in his house six bedrooms, and he put two of his brothers in each bedroom, so two would be sleeping in one bed. Now, Benjamin was by himself, and that's when Joseph slept with him in one bed, and he continued to sniff him all night long, and that's when he told him, I am your brother, Joseph. So, now let us go to the true biblical account to see the difference between the comedy of the Quran and the true biblical account. For in verse 29, we read, then he, that is Joseph, lifted his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom you spoke to me? And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. Notice, according to the Bible, Joseph did not talk directly to his brothers in the Hebrew language, but he was always speaking to his brothers through an interpreter. So we move on to verse 30. Now his heart yearned for his brother. So Joseph made haste and sought somewhere to weep. And he went into his chamber and wept there. Why Muhammad did not put that in the Quran? Obviously because he did not know the true biblical account. What would you think if you have not seen your brother, the son of your father and your mother, whom you love for years and years? Will you be that cold, without any feelings, without any emotion, just saying, hey, you are my brother and I'm your brother, I'm going to keep you for myself, and that's the end of the story? And if that was the case, why Joseph did not tell his brothers on the spot, I am Joseph, this is my brother, and you can get out of my country, don't you dare come back. Why he will make up this propaganda of putting his cup into Benjamin's sacks to bring them back so he will take him for himself? When in reality, a man in such a position in Egypt, the man after Pharaoh, can do whatever he wants. But that's not the biblical account. That is a problem we have of the reading of the words of Allah in the Quran. So now we know that Joseph wept. He did not weep in front of his brothers, but he went away in his own chamber. Now let's continue with the reading of the word of God from the Bible. For in Genesis 43 and verse 31 we read, then he washed his face and came out, and he restrained himself and said, serve the bread. Let us eat dinner. Of course, they ate dinner. and once again to see that the story continue without any of the brothers of Joseph to know that Joseph is a brother. We read in verse 32, so they set him ablaze by himself and them by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat food with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination to the Egyptians. You see the culture setting here? We're not just telling you a story. We're telling you more information than any Muslim can figure out from reading from the Quran, as Muslims claim it to be the perfect word of Allah. Obviously, that portion is not mentioned in the Quran at all. Notice here in verse 33, and they set before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men looked in astonishment at one another. What that means? It means the brother said older to younger, not just in any way, which means there's something unusual is happening here. How did they know who is the old and who is the young? I love some Muslim scholars tell you, well, because, you know, the size. No, you could have an older brother who is smaller than a younger brother. Size does not matter. We're talking about according to the birthright. Notice also in verse 34, then he took servants to them from before him. But Benjamin's serving was five times as much as any of theirs. So they drank and were merry with him. Now we see that Joseph gave Benjamin five times more food than the rest of his brothers. Now we go to the story of Genesis chapter 44, which is similar to that which we read on the Quran. But everything I have shared so far, Muhammad did not mention in the Quran. That is when Joseph gave a command to fill their sacks with the food as much as they can carry, and put each man's money, once again, the silver, were put in the mouths of their sacks. But he also put the silver cup, which is Joseph's cup, in his brother Benjamin's sack. Continuing in verse 3, we read, as soon as the morning dawned, the men were sent away, they and their donkeys. In verse 4, when they had gone out of the city and were not yet far off, Joseph said to his steward, get up, follow the men, and when you overtake them, say to them, why have you repaid evil for good? In verse 5, is not this the one from which my Lord drinks and with which he indeed practices divination? You have done evil in so doing. So he overtook them and he spoke to them these same words. And that will bring us once again to that which we have read in Quran chapter 12 to see what else Muhammad wrote in his made-up story of Joseph. And then after we finish reading the next portion from the Quran, we will come back to Genesis account in our next broadcast to see what really happened in the true biblical account. For in Quran chapter 12 and verse 73, we read, they said, these are Joseph's brothers, we swear by Allah, indeed, you know, we did not come to vandalize in the land, and we were not thieves. Wow! How did the Egyptian know that these men who came to Egypt were not vandalizing in the land, and they were not thieves? I mean, they already telling them, you're thief. No, we're not thief. And how they prove it? They just simply swear to them by Allah. When in reality, if this is a true biblical account, Joseph's brothers will not swear by Allah, but they will swear by Elohim, Jehovah, the God of Jacob, their father. Not like how Muslims or Arabs swear by Allah, the name of God in the Arabic language. But listen to the following verse. In verse 74, they said, these are the Egyptians, so what is the penalty if you were liars? I mean, what is the judgment? How are we going to punish you if you are not telling the truth? Meaning that you're thieves. You stole our master's cup. In verse 75, they said, his penalty for the one in whose back you find it, So he is the penalty. That is a big mouse loaded with words. In simple words, Joseph's brothers refused to take a camel load of grain if they will voluntarily return the cup to the Egyptian, because they swear to Allah they are not thieves. And that is what we read in verse 72. And they brought the new judgment on themselves, that the one you will find the cup with will be the penalty. He will be taken as slave. You will own that person whom you will find the cup with.
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through Muhammad. Islam challenges that upon reading the Quran, the seeker is at once convinced that it is the very word of Allah. Muslims declare that no mere man could have written such a perfect collection of verses, covering a wide variety of topics, events, and doctrines. Within the pages of the Quran, one will find familiar events and people such as the creation, the flood, Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. But even the casual reader will notice distinct and striking differences between the Quranic and the much older biblical accounts of the same topics. Muslim apologists will contend that it is the Bible which has been corrupted. The Straight Wave Grace Ministry is pleased to announce the release of a challenging and thought-provoking two-volume book series titled Exposing the Truth About the Quran. Containing over 800 pages of detailed research, the author examines these claims through careful comparisons of Quranic, biblical, historical, and archaeological records. The reader will soon discover that the Quran does not even agree with itself and is completely at odds with biblical and historical accounts. Exposing the Truth About the Quran, Volumes 1 and 2, are available now. After 14 centuries of blind adherence, now is the time for critical and thoughtful examination. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. And now, back to our show.
We continue in verse 76. So he began with their bags. Joseph himself bent down and he started opening his brother's bags. That's not what the Bible said. Now we see Joseph just like another worker in Egypt. For according to Muslim scholars, we know that he's using his cup to measure grain for people, which does not make any sense. And now he is on his knee, digging inside his brother's bags to search for his own cup. What kind of important man in Egypt to do such a job? Why even have workers work for him? As it is written in the Bible, once again in verse 56, so he began with their bags, before his brother's bag, and then he draw it out from his brother's bag. Likewise, we scheme for Joseph that he was not to take his brother into the judgment of the king, except if Allah wills. What a great evidence that Allah, the God of Muhammad, could not be but Satan. Why? Because here we see that Allah was a schemer. And what was the scheme of Allah? It is for Joseph to find the cup in his brother Benjamin's bag. And somehow, since the brothers said, whoever you find the bag with, he is the penalty. That means it was all the work of Allah, the deception of Allah, the scheme of Allah for Joseph to take his brother into the kingdom, meaning to be part of Egypt, and he will not go back with his brothers. What a strange way to look at the best portion of the biblical account of Joseph. Do we read in the Bible that Joseph did that for the purpose of keeping his brother? Was he really planning to keep his brother and get rid of the rest of the brothers? Did he put the cup into his brother's stack just for the purpose of taking him away, or because he is planning to bring his brothers and all his family back to Egypt? But he also want to know, have his brothers repent of what they have done to him years and years ago when they sold him to slavery to the Ishmaelites? This is a strange way to look at the most excellent story of the Quran. For obviously, from here we know that Muhammad did not know the biblical account, nor those who helped him to rewrite the story of Joseph in the Quran. Add to that extra more material, which is nothing but fabrication in the Quran. For who read in the rest of that verse, we, that's Allah, raise degrees of whom we will and above everyone with knowledge more knowledgeable. It's like a sentence written in the Quran. It may have some rhyme in the Arabic language, but it does not make any sense in the English language. It's like Allah is using words to make poetry without any point, because after all, the entirety of the story which Muhammad added to the true biblical account in the Quran does not make any sense. And here is more information, obviously, is not written anywhere in the biblical account in the book of Genesis. For in verse 77, we read, they said, these are Joseph's brothers. If he has stolen, we are talking about the little brother, which we do not know his name according to the Quran, which we know for sure in the Bible, his name is Benjamin. So indeed, his brother has stolen before. What brother is he talking about? Well, good luck to figure out from any Muslim scholars what they're talking about, because it's just made up. If Benjamin had stolen, his brother Joseph stolen before. And this verse means two different things. According to Muslim scholars, it could mean that Joseph has been stolen, somebody stole Joseph, or Joseph had stolen something, as you're going to see in the interpretation of so-called Muslim scholars. What did Joseph stolen before? And why is they saying that to the strange prince in Egypt whom they do not know who he is? It's like, you are in deep trouble right now. You're about to lose your brother, whom you promised your father that you will bring back with an oath given from Allah. And you are telling the man who is in charge in Egypt, oh, by the way, he's stolen. Yeah, well, his brother stolen before. Where do we read in the Bible that Joseph ever stolen anything? Or Joseph had been stolen by someone? It's not anywhere in the Bible. Remember, according to the story of Muhammad in the Quran, Joseph was taken away from his father, Jacob, to play in the field, to have a good time of running in the field and enjoy the great weather as a little boy. We're talking about 3-4 years old. How in the world, a little bit later in the story, Muhammad forgot that Joseph was gone when he was a little boy. Now we know that he's stolen before. Or he had stolen something before. And what did he stole? You have to read Muslim scholars' interpretation, which is extra comedy. No kidding, extra comedy to make up the poetry of the Quran. Let me share with you the different opinions which given by those who are so-called Muslim scholars about what did Joseph steal. For example, Sa'id ibn Jarir said that Qatada said that Joseph, peace be upon him, stole an idol which used to belong to his grandpa of his mother, and he stole it and he broke it. Wow, what a great interpretation. Another opinion about who was the owner of this idol which Joseph stolen, it was actually his uncle, that is his mother's brother. Now let us look at another interpretation, or we may say another fabrication is given by the great Muslim scholar Al-Tabari, that Isaac had a daughter and she inherited this belt from her father Isaac, which by the way, biblically, we know that Isaac did not have any daughter, and there is no such a thing about inheriting a belt. And she loved Joseph so much, so she asked Jacob to give her his son Joseph. And so she kept Joseph. And Jacob said, I swear by Allah, I cannot live without my son. Please give him back to me. She said, no, keep him with me for a little bit longer, please. Just for a few more days. And he did so. But when he came to get his son Joseph's back, she actually bought that belt around Joseph. And then she said, oh, I lost my belt, the inheritance of my father Isaac. And they searched everywhere, and she could not find the belt until they found the belt on Joseph. And she said, by Allah, she swore by Allah, that now she has the right to keep Joseph, after all, he stole the belt of her father. It's the same thing as we talked about Joseph's brother stealing the cup. And if they found Joseph's cup with him, then he will become Joseph's slave. That's exactly what the daughter of Isaac did with Joseph. And Jacob could not do anything about it. After all, it was Joseph who stole the belt of Isaac's daughter. And she kept him, meaning she owned Joseph until she died. Wow. And then, obviously, Joseph went back to his father, Jacob. And obviously, from this interpretation, we can learn that Joseph did not steal anything, but he himself was stolen by his aunt, a lady which never existed according to the Bible, because we know that Isaac did not have a daughter. What a nonsensical story. That is the beauty about Muslim scholars. They're making up stuff all the time. My friends, have I shared with you every fabrication which Muslims consider to be interpretation to the story of Joseph in the verses of the Quran? This study will take a couple years just to talk about Joseph's alone. So, what was the verse of the Quran is about? It's about the brothers of Joseph telling Joseph, whom he did not know that he is Joseph, if their little brother has stolen, so indeed his brother, they meant Joseph, had stolen before. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.